Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad.
And this month we'll be celebrating a holiday, or holidays, depending on what holiday you're celebrating. But we'll be celebrating Yule and Christmas.
Are there any Hanukkah horror movies?
Yes, there is actually. There's one coming out. And it's the guy that does the t-shirts that they have at Spooky. Him and his girlfriend, they do those awesome t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I totally forgot the name of the place. But, yeah, they're coming out with one. Actually, he just released, like, their poster.
Okay, well, that's about time.
Yeah, it's overdue. Then at the same time, it's like, is it negative? Because Hanukkah doesn't have, I mean, you know what I mean? Like Christmas, like all the Christmas movies are like about Santa. They're not about like Jesus coming and like killing people.
Yeah. I don't know what that one's going to be like exactly.
Yeah. But hey, it's happening and it's happening. So one day, I guess, I don't know when it's coming out, but we decided to choose some known and some lesser known films. This one we found on Amazon Prime. And it is called Blood Beat.
A ghost. A ghost. A devil. A devil. A poltergeist. A poltergeist. Call it what you will. What you will. It lives. It lives. It breathes. It breathes. You'll be paralyzed with fear. With fear. As it kills. As it kills. And mutilates. And mutilates. Anyone in its past. Anyone in its past. A girl possessed. Possessed. Woman tormented by a psychic powers. Psychic powers. Bloodbeat. Bloodbeat. A horrifying. A horrifying. Inexplicable. Inexplicable events. An evil presence seeking revenge. Spilling blood. Spilling blood. Spreading terror.
Blood Beat. Blood, Blood Beat. A video from Thorny MI.
This movie sucked.
If you listen to the trailer, you'll know why we're doing this.
Yes.
Now listen.
Psychic.
Every time we see one of these movies that is one of the most horrible things ever, you think, well, nothing can be worse than that. And then something comes along that is. I think it's Vinegar Syndrome's mission in life to find the worst movies imaginable and put them on Blu-ray. Why is this on Blu-ray, but other movies that people have been wanting for years are not on Blu-ray? We can't get a mass-produced copy of Fright Night on Blu-ray, but we can get Blood Beat.
Yeah, because Blood Beat was shot in like 8 weeks.
That's being generous. I think it's more like this was shot in 8 days. This was shot, edited, and released in 8 days.
8 weeks. So that's
2 months.
2 months. Wow. Halloween was shot in like 24 days or something insane.
Yeah. Well, let's just start off with the quote plot of Blood Beat.
Yes. Do you want to read this plot off of IMDb?
Yes. Let's read what the plot says it is, then we'll tell you what really goes on. Because I have a feeling what was in the script, is a little different than what actually happened.
Well, let me tell you. Blood Beat, rated R, 85 minutes. 1983.
Oh my god, it was only 85 minutes?
Yes,
85 minutes. Did we watch this movie for 3 hours?
We watched it for 2 days. That's how rough it was. A woman who lives in deer hunting country in rural Wisconsin is possessed by the spirit of a Japanese samurai warrior. That's exactly, you heard it right, ladies and gentlemen. She was possessed by a Japanese samurai warrior.
Now, let's first of all,
I thought it was Shredder, actually. When I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah. Shredder.
Let's just talk about the fact that the description says a woman who lives in deer hunting country. Okay. Now, they do get into deer hunting in this, but the woman who's possessed by the samurai
is Spoiler alert.
Oh, I'm doing you a favor if I spoil this movie. Is not the one who's possessed. She is having her kids come back for Christmas, and one of them brings their girlfriend. She's the one that gets possessed by the samurai, because for some reason...
Oh, we're going to just throw the main thing of the plot already?
Like, yeah, right? We're just going to throw it right out there.
Okay, let's throw it out there.
So for some reason, Mom, out in the middle of rural Wisconsin, she has her own little art studio where she's painting these crazy, you know, abstract paintings.
She's a psychic painter, guys, okay? Psychic painter.
And she just happens to have a box filled with samurai armor and a sword that has an evil spirit in it. Now, I'm going to tell you this, but there'll be no other fucking explanation for this in the movie. All you get is the fact that Mom has this. Now, I'm not saying that they have to go into great detail and go into the whole history of the ghost and the samurai armor here, but we could have at least included a scene where she buys it at a flea market and is like, oh, did I forget to mention I bought this suit of armor at a flea market? I was going to use it in one of my art projects. It's haunted. No, we get shit.
Well, we do get, like, that weird, like, student film
thing. Montage of World War II scenes.
Yeah. What was up with those World War II scenes?
Excuse me. I don't know, because they don't tell you anything.
We should ask the director.
I'm sure he's not doing much.
Fabrice Sapatos? Sofratos. Yeah, he only did like two movies. So this was like the only one. He's a French filmmaker who decided to make this film in Wisconsin. The house that the movie shot on is actually a house that he actually lived in.
No kidding.
And surprise! And he also wore the samurai suit. And he did the stunts of like the jumping out the windows.
Yeah.
So he, you know, per usual in an indie film, you have to do multiple things. It's like a thing that you have to do because you have no money. Like, you have no money or very limited money. I think they actually
paid people to make this movie. He paid other people for the right to make this because there's no way. Well, so, okay. So the basic plot. Kids come home for the holidays to see Mom. Mom's got a haunted suit of samurai armor. Mom, you know, is psychic. As soon as the son's girlfriend comes to the door and they shake hands, they get the crazy, I call it the 70s vision. It's like 70s Predator vision, where everything turns like a weird blue color and you get the closed caption says like eerie whooshing. If there was a drinking game for this movie, every time the caption said eerie whooshing, if you took a drink, you'd be fucked up 20 minutes into this movie. Because eerie whooshing and what was it? Strange boinging, or what would it say, like super boing, something like that, super boinging, something really bizarre. And she was like, really, that's a term that you use?
Something actually just dawned on me while you said strange boinging, but we'll get to that in a little while.
Yes. So they get there, and like you do in Wisconsin, you wait for your buddy, the Red Baron. You wait for the Red Baron, who they, have a great scene where the Red Baron is driving an old-time blazer, a red one, comes flying up over the hill at like 120 miles an hour for no reason out in the middle of the highway other than the fact that somebody said, we need to put a car stunt in this movie. Okay, who can drive really fast and get some like hang time in the air when they come up over this hill?
He's driving so damn fast in this truck, like, it's incredible how fast he's driving. You can totally notice it. Like, zoom! It was like, okay, why is this... Why are we lingering? It's like a couple of minutes.
Yeah, and it's just the guy driving down the road. There's no car chase. He's just driving down the road like 100 miles an hour, getting airborne at one point.
That's my favorite part, the airborne part.
And then just comes screeching up to the farm, and everybody's like, hey! Oh, okay, well, let's all gear up and go hunting together.
Well, he had to live up to his name. His name is the Red Baron. Okay? Yeah. You're just not going to just have a name like that and just show up driving 20 miles an hour in a residential area.
But yeah, so they all decide to go hunting. The Red Baron, the mom's boyfriend, who they've been living together for a long time but have never gotten married.
Yeah, because they're hippies, you know.
Yeah, they're hippies.
Living the hippie life.
And then her son, her daughter, who her daughter makes what I would call questionable fashion choices throughout this movie. And
I'm sure it was her own clothes.
Yeah, and then the son's girlfriend, who is immediately like, oh, I don't like hunting. I don't know. Should I even go? Do not say that and then go hunting with a group of hunters. That irritates them a lot. I can tell you this from experience. That's why I never went hunting. I did not want to be the guy in the background going, do we really need to kill this? Really? But anyhow, so they go out there. Of course, she starts having psychic flashes. And, you know, like you do, you have your psychic flashes, you panic, you ruin the shot of everybody that's trying to shoot the deer. And then you go running, screaming through the woods where you just randomly come up on a guy who's been shot, but not by any of the other people. And then we just never mention that again in the movie. They just take that guy away and, okay, that just was a thing that happened. It's unrelated to everything else that happens.
I thought the samurai killed him.
No.
I thought, are you sure? I don't know. I think the samurai killed him. That was like the first kill.
Because I don't remember any, like, the samurai didn't really come out until she touched the sword, and she hadn't touched the sword yet.
Well, it was the whooshing. We're going to have to go back and relook at that one. Because I, for some reason, I feel like he killed that person. But then again, he did kill a lot of random people in the woods.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's nowhere else to, like, murder people. You're in Wisconsin. So, and let me tell you, the mom kind of has, like, a Wisconsin twang.
Yeah.
To her. Like, she's trying real hard. It does not work out well. And she looks like Shelley Long. She reminded me of, like, Shelley Long mixed with someone else. She has a very weird look, the mom, to her.
Yeah, this is one of those movies, too, where they got a lot of creepy things going on in it on the side, too. You got the son and his girlfriend, where they come back to the house, and he's like, hey, so we got this twin bed all to ourselves. What do you say we make use of it? She's like, I don't know. I'm not really in the mood. He just rips her shirt open, starts feeling her up. She's like, I don't think I want to do this. She literally has to punch him to get him off of her. And he's like, ah, okay, I guess not now.
Yeah, he's mad rapey.
Yeah, really date rapey, Joe? What convinced you of that? The fact that she was screaming, no, I don't want to do this the whole time?
Yeah, but, you know. Like my, you know, your mom's next door, like, touching weird samurai blades.
And, like, all the paintings seem to be giving weird vibes off. Like, they might be watching you through the paintings.
The paintings, 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 paintings. Yes, the paintings were just like, what the fuck were up with these paintings? Why? They were all, they were giving her weird vibes.
Yeah, so she wasn't in the mood to get it on. Like I said, in this luxurious twin bed. Everybody gets excited about that, to be doing it in a bed that's roughly the same length that you are. And, yeah, so this is another one of those 80s movies that you watch now and go, oh, God, that's just terrible.
Yeah, it takes a really long time. There's a lot of samurai vision, which is what I call the blue/red. It's very predator-like. Whenever you see through the samurai's eyes, point of view, it's weird, like weird off color. There's a lot of that going, you know, there's a lot of like walking through the woods. The samurai likes to walk a lot, you know, I guess because he's looking for his like next victim. And yeah, why'd the mom even take out the samurai items?
She didn't. It was the daughter. The daughter, they were just happened to be in a box by the side of the bed that the daughter took out and touched the sword. And after that, she was...
Yeah, she got cut. She got cut by it.
Yeah, and then that was when she got possessed by the sword. And let me tell you, how she gets possessed is... You know,
wait, the girlfriend got possessed.
The girlfriend got possessed, yeah. Yeah. The girlfriend, you know, that night, everybody's sitting around watching, like, weird Christmas specials and playing Monopoly. And the girlfriend is up in bed, and she just strips off all of her clothes, wraps herself up in the blanket, And both of us looking at it going, is she masturbating? What is she doing? No, she is just in the midst of sexual ecstasy while the ghost is out killing people.
Yes, an intense, it was a very intense sex scene. I think she was pleasuring herself as she was seeing through the samurai's, yeah. Samurai eyes.
Because it looked like someone was just nailing her, like there was an invisible guy having sex with her. But there's no one there. And then like immediately she's like, ugh. And I'm done. So
as soon as he like totally kills him, she's like, I'm over this.
And we're done. But so he's, you know, the samurai is out killing everybody. And is the Red Baron, in fact. They're at the Red Baron's house, which apparently was not that far away from their house, which I don't know why he needed to drive 100 miles an hour to get there. But I digress. So the Red Baron is in this house, and I love, like, he's another one of the most sexist dudes ever. He's laying in bed, like, reading a magazine. The wife comes in, he's like, bring me a sandwich and some tea. So she brings him the sandwich back and the tea, and he's like, did you bring the mustard? So I don't know how you expect me to eat this without mustard. She's like, fine, I'll go get the mustard. While she's in the kitchen getting the mustard, that's when Ghost Samurai busts through the door and stabs her. Then tries to kill Red Baron, but he manages to get out and get into the Red Baron truck and drive away to a gas station where he stops, gets out, looks around, says, oh no, it followed me. Gets back in the car and drives over to his friend's house, where they're all hanging out. And then the samurai follows them, tries to kill everybody there in the house, but I don't remember what stopped it from killing everybody there in the house. Did it just wake up? Did she just wake up and it killed the vibe?
I don't remember. Is this a scene where the mom's hands are like glowing?
That's right. That's where the mom was like, don't harm my family. Don't harm my family. And her hands start glowing in that weird 80s cheesy effect, like mausoleum. It has the mausoleum style effects where it's like a freeze frame and they're glowing. And like they're,
you can tell the antennae of the fucking TV are moving. The window's going up and down. It's like a haunted house.
Yeah. And like you can tell that like the picture's frozen and they're literally just like shaking the film.
Oh my goodness.
So that chases Ghost Samurai off for the moment. And it's one of the scenes, like, I love it, where now, like, obviously the mom knows something or whatever, so the son just comes up, mom, what, mom, 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 what? I'm not exaggerating, that's exactly how that scene went. But she never answers. She's just like, you know.
No, she says like he won't let anything happen to you. He won't do anything to you. And then he's like, it's not him. Like he like starts like whatever, and then you're like, oh, cliffhanger, who the fuck is it?
What's happening?
Who is it? We never know. Is it a long lost like ancestor of theirs who like put a curse on their family where they're always gonna have like a samurai come out on Christmas and like chill and kill everybody? Like, and if it's that important, why do you have a possessed samurai like outfit like out by the side of the bed in a random cardboard box as opposed to like maybe buried in the backyard, maybe like in a chest with like a link with like chains wrapped around
burn
it,
burn the thing, maybe throw it in the lake?
There's so many different ways I feel like she could have secured this, you know, ghostly samurai outfit, and she did a terrible job.
And let's talk about the ghost samurai himself. It's literally a guy in a samurai outfit.
The director,
where they have put like that creepy blue glow around him that you saw like in all the 70s TV, like sci-fi shows and that, where they were like, oh no, it's an alien. And he's got like the creepy, like, you could make it in the local TV studio glow around him. That's what the samurai is.
Yeah, it's not a good glow. It's a very terrible, terrible glow.
And of course, he sees everything in Predator vision.
Yeah.
This was before Predator, so I'll give him a little credit. They were trying to be something. They were trying to be innovative.
Yeah, well, how else are you going to know it's a samurai doing things? You know, the suit, the maybe samurai sword that's stabbing people? I don't know.
And the fact that the samurai never says anything in Japanese.
Well, you know, he's like a silent. He's taking an oath to be silent. Maybe he cut his tongue off with the samurai sword.
Yeah, because, you know, the director wasn't going to go out and learn any Japanese just for this movie. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, one of my favorite parts, I shouldn't say favorite part, but I was like, what is this whole thing? Remember the whole speech? Because she doesn't want to tell anyone that's going on. And the boyfriend is like agitated. He gives her that whole speech and he's like, I'm a man and I need some attention. I need affection. Because he also, I mean, even though they're not related, also has a creepy, rapey vibe. And he's like, you know, I know there's some shit going down right now, but I'm horny and I'm going to need you to stop with the whole psychic thing. And he keeps telling her, like, you're psychic and a painter, but it's about me and I need something from you and you're never giving it to me. Like, he goes into his whole, I'm just like, what is going on right now? He's so trying so hard to get laid and I feel like went in a totally, like, opposite wrong direction. She closed up like a clam, guys. She was not about it. She was like, I'm done with this.
And then, like you do, you just, you know, your friend made it over there to try and get saved, but he, spoiler alert, he didn't make it. He got killed by the ghost samurai.
Yeah, the Red Baron cannot beat out the ghost samurai. So,
like you do, they just throw him in the back of the pickup truck with a blanket over him. And then the boyfriend, the son and the girlfriend, they decide just to go back upstairs. By this point, the girlfriend is super horny from having been, you know, involved in the first set of murders. So she's like, hey, remember how you wanted to bang earlier? Well, we took those paintings of your mom's out, so now it's fine. So the whole time they're having sex, the ghost samurai is out just murdering hobos in the woods.
Now, my question. Ghost samurai possessed the daughter, the yes. girlfriend, I'm sorry, not the daughter, the girlfriend. So is this like a weird relationship? Like, is he into guys? Because he's having sex with a guy right now. Like, he's possessed a woman's body, but he's still in there. And he's going off, like, at the same time, because that's never really disclosed. Like, he leaves her, then he comes back and possesses her again.
Yeah, like sometimes...
What's the connection?
Sometimes it's her in the armor, and sometimes it's just a full-on ghost in the armor. It was very unclear as to what the hell was going on. My theory is everyone involved with this movie smoked a lot of weed, and they got confused on the plot as they went along, and they were like, wait, we were doing this, and we did page 16, and then we did page 30. What happened to those middle pages? And they were like, oh, shit, I don't know. We might have smoked those last night.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. That's totally spot on.
They just took that 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and made a huge blunt with it. They were just smoking that night.
So after much, you know, bullshit that happens in the movie, we get to the end. I'm like, let's just skip forward to the end because we've dedicated already 85 minutes to our life. But there's so much to say about this because it really, like, you're like, oh, okay. So you finally, like, see that it's... She, like, gets in the garb. Like, the girlfriend finally dons the whole outfit. And, you know, you're like, what? Why? Why is this happening? What like, how? You know, and... You know, there's been a lot of turmoil with the family because the mom's keeping her secrets. The children are scared and crazed. Like, that whole scene where they're, like, hiding in the closet and the daughter's just doing nothing but screaming. She's not helping out at all. She's not doing... She's literally having, like, a crazy attack, panic attack.
And the ghost samurai is slowly putting the sword through the door, like, splitting the wood on the door. It's just slowly peeking through the wood. You're like... Is this supposed to be some kind of creepy sexual thing, too? Because a lot of the things in the movie are. So, is this something? Or is this just they didn't want to, like, break the door, so they had to make sure they just put it through a little bit so they could repair it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, probably. I mean, he is French, so, you know, oui, oui. The film, I think, you know, I think maybe why Vinegar Syndrome, besides the obvious fact that, like, how many fucking samurai samurais are coming back killing people on Christmas. There's not a lot of films like that. Spoiler alert, this is the only one. Of course they would choose something crazy like this. But also, I think they also enjoy the fact that even though this was shot, and to me and you and probably so many other people, this looks like a terrible movie. But the work that was put in, like, with the people that did all, like, the camera work and all that kind of stuff, people are actually, like, impressed that they were able to accomplish this because, yeah, it's a terrible movie, but it does look professional compared to, like, other indie films that have, like, small budgets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then there's that whole interesting thing about the whole end, how literally, I mean, before we get to the end, but the shot is completely different because it's like a negative they had to find because it got ruined or something insane.
Yeah, like the original prints of it were all ruined. The only thing they could find for like the ending credits and like the just before the end credits start is like some kind of like it was very badly damaged or it was a VHS copy that they had to just splice on at the end.
Yeah, and so it looks
different. From looking really clear to it looks like you're watching everything through kind of a fish tank.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's very noticeable.
But at the same time, it works within the film because it's weird. And maybe you can say like, oh, is this a samurai like spirit hovering? Oh, shit. This reminds me of that other fucking movie where the spirit's hovering all over the place. And it does that crazy like angled shot down to like the hospital. The one where the girl gets possessed where she's going to college.
Oh, Enigma?
Enigma, yes.
The snail movie.
Yes. Oh my god. The snail movie. That's how you remember the movie?
How many movies do you see where a girl gets eaten by snails?
That's the only one.
There you go.
You know, an Italian film. So, you know, foreign. So then you're also going to get like that kind of like foreign feel, which is probably why they're like, ooh, you know, this movie, because it does have that like those foreign like weird bullshit, which... It's like the thing, you know, all those movies by Fulci, you know, are fucking nuts.
Yeah, they're all crazy.
Mario Balta, like, they're in freaking insane movies, and you're like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? But yet at the same time, you can't look away.
Yeah, because it's so crazy.
Why did the girlfriend who succumbs to the possession, she's like, oh, that's it, I'm done, I'm just going to be fully possessed. Why does she decide to go downstairs to, like, write a letter? She's like a writing desk when the confrontation happens between the mom and the girlfriend. She's, like, at the desk, and then she turns around, and it's, like, the reveal, like, oh, shit, it's the fucking girlfriend. And then the mom is, like, saying, like, that's her sister. So, how is she the sister? It wasn't a samurai sister? Like, that wasn't really explained. I mean, nothing is explained in the film. But it's like, and then you get the crazy fucking flashes of World War II.
There's something missing from this movie that we didn't see. Maybe a scene where, like, she had a twin sister that was killed in Japan during the war. I don't know. That would have been terrible, but at least I would have been like, oh, okay, I get it.
At least there would have been some kind of explanation about what the fuck is going on in this movie. And all the samurai wants is the daughter. You don't even know why he wants the daughter, or why she wants the daughter. Probably because she has, the mom was super strong, but the daughter was supposed to be stronger. So maybe she either wanted her powers and wanted to maybe, like, possess her. Or she just wanted to, like, have the showdown and then kill the daughter. You never really find out that out either. All you know is that she's after the daughter because she doesn't give a fuck about the brother. They have to actually join forces to take the samurai sister out. Because the mom does die. She does get it. She gets...
Samurai girlfriend, you mean?
The samurai girlfriend kills the mom.
Yeah.
And the daughter and the son go and join hands and they defeat the samurai girlfriend / sister.
Who also killed the mom's boyfriend.
Yep, he did too. He did Mama dead, Red Baron dead, anyway. Random fucking people on having a like fire camp out dead. Everybody's dead in this film. The deer's dead. There's a deer hunting scene. Deer dead.
I love the scene where they're like, okay, we'll start the truck and we'll drive the Red Baron's body into town to the sheriff. Why wouldn't you just call the sheriff? I don't know. Oh, that's right. They blew the phone up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the phone
Samurai was blown up. Samurai melted the phone.
Which actually, that actually happened. Like, in real life.
Oh, yeah, they
telephone got blown up. Like it was like an electrical storm or some shit.
They blew the phone up. But yeah, so he's just like, okay, we threw out the body in the back of the truck. I'll drive the truck, I'll have the body into town. Oh, the truck won't start. So I'll just ride one of the horses into town. He starts riding into town, then just stops, turns around and comes back. We don't really know, did he ever get to the sheriff? What happened? The sheriff would be like, oh, I'll be out there in a little while. No, we never really find out.
Yeah, we never do find out. Another thing we don't find out. We should just do a podcast on the things we don't find out on in horror films.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, because this is definitely a fucking question mark.
And let me go ahead and throw this out there now. This movie gets zero knives.
Wow, it's one zero that, knives from you.
Unless I get to stab the movie with an actual knife.
Wow.
But no, this one, do not waste your time. Well, I say that, but if you're with a group, get it and watch it. It'll be a hell of a time. But if you're watching this alone, it's going to be a sad night for you. You're not going to enjoy it.
My mouth is ajar down to the fucking floor because I give it one knife.
Holy shit.
And actually 1.5 knives.
Oh.
And I feel like you should catch this movie closer to, you know, Christmas and or holiday of your choosing. And you should definitely just sit back and go for the crazy fuck ride that is this movie. Because, yes, it is pretty terrible, but it's so fantastical at the same time. Because it's like, you're never going to see any of this shit again. This is a one and only time fucking thing. You're not going to see, you know, samurai walking around killing fucking people on Christmas in Wisconsin. It's just not going to happen. Only in this film. And it's something that needs to be held for all. Everyone needs to watch this. I'm so glad it's on Amazon Prime. I'm actually really glad that we saw this film. Because I don't know. It's like going to become... Oh, I'm so sorry for you. It's going to become our Christmas tradition. Yule tradition to celebrate this film and watch it. I want to be fully samurai'd. When I watch the film, sword and the whole suit and all. I just want to sit there drinking eggnog, watching this film. Maybe having some LED lights in my hand so I can fucking have like magical glow powers as well.
Will you let me know how that works out? I'm going to be watching a much better Christmas movie in the other room.
That's fucked up. You're just going to leave me to me and the samurai and my eggnog by myself?
Well, put some liquor in it and you'll be fine.
Wow, that's pretty harsh. Yeah, one and a half knives for me. I give it, guess what? I'm going to go out, even out. I'm going to give it 1.5 samurai knives. Ooh. Swords. Knives.
1.5 katanas.
1.5 katanas.
I give it 0 katanas.
Wow. I'm shocked. I'm shook. For real. I had no idea that you did not like this movie. I thought you loved this movie. I thought we were in the same boat.
No.
Yeah, we looked at each other and I just totally misread the whole reaction. I thought your look of, you know, your smiley look and the shaking of your head was like, man, this movie was fun.
No. This movie was terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Wow. Well, that concludes our episode of Blood Beat, and that's such a disgusting name too. We're going to be putting up some video, some a little clip, and some photos of the film, some covers. The covers are really cool though. I love
the covers are much better than the movie.
Covers are cool, so watch that on you'll look at that on Instagram, or if you just happen to be in the Orlando Horror Society page on Facebook, You'd find that there too. Man, I'm full of yawns, and you're full of coughs.
Yeah, it's a great week over here at the Jump Scare headquarters. Everybody's sick and tired of being sick and tired.
And sick and tired of this film, apparently.
Yep.
One of us is.
Go ahead. We will be back next week, hopefully with a much better movie.
Maybe. I don't know. We do have some interesting films for this month, I have to say, for this month. You know, we should try, we should check to see if that Hanukkah movie comes out, because that'd be something fun to talk about. Thank you so much for joining in. And once again, stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.